the most satisfying books conclude by tying up all the loose ends. Many collections save the best poems or speeches or binding thematic material for the end. The Book of Psalms is a collection of 150 poems, praises, and prayers from across centuries of Israel's history. For several reasons, the scholars break it down into five sections. The first two, dating from Israel's early decades of living settled and safe in the Promised Land. The remaining three from the years during and after the exile. As a collection, the Psalms give guidance for living in keeping with God's desires and expectations, and lifting up the attributes of God, who is the great King above all others. Our reading for today, Psalm 147, is one of five Hallelujah Psalms that conclude the book. The language of the psalm indicates that it comes from this period post-exile. Some suggest it was even composed for a particular moment in the rebuilding and resettlement of Israel. When God's people first entered the Promised Land, after 40 years of wandering in the desert, God chose judges to provide wisdom and interpretation. But seeing the surrounding nations governed by kings who established a sense of order and maintained armies and negotiated treaties, God's people wanted a human king. So God placed first Saul, then David, then Solomon on the throne. And in the years following Solomon's death, his sons fought over and divided the kingdom. The ensuing decades were marked by unrest and drifting away from God's laws. In 722 BCE, Assyria conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. In 586, Babylon, having conquered Assyria, overthrew the kingdom of Judah in a violent war. Persia then conquered Babylon. As the decades rolled by, cadres of Jewish people returned to the land of their ancestors. In 432, still BC, the last wave of exiles returned to Jerusalem, and under Nehemiah's leadership, they rebuilt the city wall, its gates, and its temple. Nehemiah and the priest Ezra led the people in worship ceremonies to celebrate the return and the restoration of the city and the rebuilding of the temple. Psalm 147 from this period in history is first and foremost a song of praise for the people to share in worship. There's a back and forth motion to this psalm. Praise the Lord, writes the psalmist, encouraging the people to pour out their praise and thanks to God for what God has poured out to them. God has gathered them from their exile. God has healed their brokenness and bound their wounds. God, who is over and above all created things, has shown care for them. By extension, God shows care for us. So send praises out to God, the God who provides for every need, creating clouds which send down rain, which waters the earth, which causes the grass to grow, which provides food for the animals and birds, which in turn provides food for the humans. So praise God, who blesses the people with protection and with safety, with strength and with peace. Praise God who is in all things, in all the seasons of life. Praise God who gives wisdom for living. Praise God. When the Jewish people resettled Jerusalem, and Ezra and Nehemiah read the sacred texts in the newly rebuilt city and temple, the people's first reaction was sadness, realizing how far they had strayed from God's word. Ezra and Nehemiah did some good pastoral work. They reframed the experience to become one of joy and celebration. Yes, the people had strayed from God. Yes, they had rejected God. But God still loved them. God had been with them through the darkest times, and God had made a way back for them. Standing at what felt like the conclusion of the story, I'm sure, and analyzing the path that led to the here and now, all that built trust, that built hope for the people. Because when you look back at where you came from, Like that story about the footprints in the sand, you can see the lows and the highs, the faithfulness of God who's been at work through all the things. Another psalm from this same time period proclaims, "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord, Lord, hear my voice. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning." More than the watchmen wait for the morning. We wait, and we hope, and we stay. Scripture shows us story upon story of God's people who waited and hoped and did their best to stay faithful to God. God promised Abraham his descendants would be as many as the stars in heaven, as many as the grains of sand on the seashore. And Abraham waited till he was 100 years old for Isaac to be born. The Hebrew people became enslaved in Egypt and lived in slavery for 400 years before God delivered them and Moses led them out. They wandered as nomads in the desert for 40 years before Joshua led them into the promised land flowing with milk and honey. In 722 BC, the Assyrians conquered Israel and took its people captive. In 586, Babylon conquered Jerusalem and carried the people into exile. And more than 100 years passed before the last of the Israelites returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt the city and its temple. And another 400 plus years would go by before Jesus the Messiah was born. God's people know what it means to wait and to wait with hope. How long the days and nights must have felt for the disciples who followed Jesus to Jerusalem and to the upper room and to the cross at Calvary. How long the days and nights must have felt between his crucifixion and the morning of the first day of the week. How long it must have felt for the women who waited for dawn's first light to gather the supplies needed to anoint Jesus' body for a proper burial. How long it must have felt as the disciples waited in the upper room, wondering if the guards were coming for them next. How long the wait feels when resurrection light has yet to dawn. But the promise of Scripture, the promise we hold tightly to through the darkest, longest nights, is this, and it's another promise from the Psalms. Joy will come with the morning, and morning will surely come. To wait while remaining sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, that's the definition of faith, according to the letter to the Hebrews. The author goes on saying that that's exactly the faith that Abraham and Sarah exhibited, the faith of Moses and of the Hebrew people. That's the hope our faith ancestors have lived in every age, the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us and inspires us. We wait, we hope, we stay. We do not abandon our faith because the answers or the deliverance we seek is long in coming. We do not give up the faith because the way grows dim or because doubts enter our minds. Like the Apostle Peter, we stay as faithful as we are able to, because to whom else would we go? Jesus alone has the words of eternal life. And so we wait, we hope, we stay faithful to God who loves us, who blesses us, who restores us and heals us through whatever season we are in. Through the unknowns of a job search, waiting for phone calls, for interviews, for clarity, for wisdom, God is with us. Through health crises, through diagnosis and treatment options, through pain and recuperation, through all the hopes and fears, God is with us. Through our relationship struggles, when anger and hurt become palpable, words and even silences are weaponized, and God is with us. And through this season, under this big umbrella of pandemic, characterized by constant change and unending unknowns, God is with us. We are God's people. It is in our DNA to wait and to hope and to stay. And when we reach the concluding chapter, when we get to the end of the story, we will see it more clearly. May God help us to have faith sufficient until that day. Amen, friends. Amen.